Welcome to the Anti-Pattern Podcast, your ticket to the revolution in digital thread technologies. Please welcome, live from Mannheim, Germany, your hosts, Christian Mucheo and Michael Fenning.
Hello and welcome to the 11th podcast episode of the Anti-Pattern
Already?
Podcast.
Yeah, 11 in a row.
So patterns 11, so to say.
the 11th pattern.
But yeah, we already used this kind of movie title. Yeah. What are we talking about today? So after the last episode where we were talking about much BS which is in the market while
The myths,
yeah.
It's a hard word for a German.
Yeah, that's right. after these myths, we would like to say and talk about what it would be like to make a project with us.
Work together with us in an implementation project.
Yeah, right. And therefore, we would like to talk today about a standardization, integration, migration, and qualification.
Can I bring my Latin class anecdote?
Why not?
We have the time. So I like the dimensions that Christian just said, right? Standardization, integration, migration, and qualification. And why do I speak that awkwardly? Because all of those words end in the same syllable, and I learned in my Latin classes. This is called a, careful, homoteloton in English, I guess, right? And that means basically words, you know, mentioned together that end in the same syllable. I like that a lot. I wanted to mention that. It's long ago.
It's nearly three decades away that I learned this.
Yeah. Two decades.
No, it's more. We are old.
Okay. So anyway, in other words, if we want to implement our solution together with us, right, we will require a couple of things, of course, right? But we will do it differently than the other vendors. And usually we have a smaller scope, right? We don't go and say, okay, you have to implement all of, you know, that huge PLM monolith that you can find at other vendors, right? That's not what we do. So our scope is smaller. And because our scope is smaller, the required budget is usually smaller and the involved risk in the project is smaller, but you can better plan, right? You don't have to do all of this, right? You only have to do this much, right? And you can better plan and handle the risks that are, you know, associated with any kind of project usually, right? So this is what we want to do today. We want to discuss what does it mean to work together with us and why do we think it's less risky and less expensive?
Yeah, and the first thing is the usage of standards.
Right.
Because the good thing on standards is that you don't reinvent the wheel all the time for each and every time for the same topic. On the other hand, you have to be careful with standards to the inner side. So what we would not recommend is to build up your data model only upon one standard. No matter if it's a domain standard or a wider standard. You are dependent on the standard, and if the standard fails, you have a problem and you don't want to rework all your platform.
True.
So the interesting scenarios for standards are definitely the exchange scenarios.
Yep.
The data exchange between tools and the platform or your company and another company in the supply chain, their standards are really necessary. And we are fan of standards in these ways. Both of us
of
have for a long time.
A long worked, history in standardization, yeah.
Yeah, in OMG and GFSE, Prostab IVIP.
In COSY, indirectly.
And so don't get us wrong. We are fans of standards, but more on the outside and not for the inside.
Yeah, and why is that, right? Internally, you need the flexibility to actually model what you really need, right? And the other thing is we already talked about vendor lock-in, right? And there's another lock-in, and that is the standard lock-in, right? So we as, you know, tool providers cannot also not just say, oh, there's one standard, we only support this standard hard-coded, right? What happens if the standard fails? What happens then to our tool, right? And what happens to you if you, you know, set everything on one standard internally? That doesn't make really sense to do this, right? So you need the flexibility internally for your internal data models, but not externally, because depending on the relationship you have with suppliers, with your customers, in terms of data exchange, right? You may require to support different standards, right? And just to name a few, there is STEP AP 242, right, for aerospace and automotive, because STEP AP 203 and 214 were combined. 3 times 14 is 42. Am I correct? Mm-hmm. I'm correct. Yeah. And there is, of course, for other industries, other standards, the ISO EN 15380-2 for trains, right? Railway vehicles, PLCS, which is STEP AP 239, REG-IF and others, where there's so many out there. And in the end, it always comes down to a carrying format like XML, like JSON or CSV in the past, or maybe in the future, YAML, right? Yet another markup language. Mm-hmm. So there is multiple carrying formats for this, right? And we support the carrying formats, and we support the modeling of transformations and the mapping from internal data model to the external world, right? In other words, if you don't want to wait for us to deliver a standard format in our platform, you can build it on your own, right? You don't have to wait for us. And this is the idea behind all of what we do in the platform. If we cannot deliver as fast as you want the standard in our product, right, you can build it on your own.
Yeah. And coming to the next step and use it in an integration, for example.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
And speaking of integrations, we have to distinguish, I would say, two main scenarios nowadays. Yeah. And this is the scenario of, integrate different API let's say cloud-native systems, which right. have all APIs and webhooks. And we talked about this in a recent episode, which is much easier than connecting to a classic on-prem.
Right. I guess what we said is it has never been as easy as today to build integrations in the cloud native setting. So the ideal world would be all involved tools are cloud native and then integrations are easy. It's not as easy when it comes to legacy systems.
Yeah, exactly. Because legacy systems, you never know what you get. Yeah. Right. Some have APIs, some don't. Some have an SDK and you have to develop your own integration on.
Right.
On their platform or whatever. So it's doable in most of the cases, but it's definitely harder and it takes much more time and though much more budget.
And I mean, I can speak from experience when I was working for XPLM, right? We were building standard CAT connectors for multiple systems, right? Not everything from the same vendor, right? When you cross vendor boundaries, right? And that was, not easy, right? But it was doable, right? Mm-hmm. And it's, still holds up, right? It's doable.
Yeah.
Right. And that brings us then to migration, right? Migration is actually something that we don't require from our customers, right? We don't come to a project or meet a customer and say, if you want to use our tool, you have to migrate your legacy tools. We don't do this, right? We want to sit on top, right? We want to lay over existing tools, and integrate with them, communicate with them, add functionality in the cloud, especially things that are not possible in legacy systems anymore, right? And we don't require any migration, usually, right? Mm-hmm. The only setting that I can think of, to be honest, there may be more, but the only setting I can think of where migration is required is if the legacy system has been sunsetted. Right, or sunset.
Yeah, okay. Then in these cases, you don't have another alternative as a customer.
Yeah, because usually you want those systems to be still supported, to have patches delivered, also for security purposes, right? And if one of the other vendors, sunsets a solution, then you have to migrate, and we can of course help you in that process, and add functionality on our end that you need to replace the old tool, right? But it's basically, I would say, the only setting where we think a migration is required, right? And I know one example, and for multiple customers, and one of them lately, actually, where big vendors, came to them and said, okay, you can use our tool, but you have to replace your old tool. And by the way, you have to use our CAT tool. Mm-hmm. And what's happening here, right? Because if you migrate an existing CAT tool, you have to convert the existing data, right? The models, right? This is not cheap. And depending on what kind of combination, right? What CAD tool was it that you are migrating from? What CAD tool is it that you're migrating to, right? This can be very complex and can be very expensive because not all of the combination has been tested out in huge industrial projects, right? So in other words, if you don't have to change your CAD system because the vendor is sunsetting the solution, why do it, right? Why invest hundreds of thousands or even million euros or dollars into a migration project if you have the same functionality later than you had before? Yep. Doesn't make sense from a business perspective, in my opinion, to be honest.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay, so coming to the last point, which is qualification. I always want to say classification. I don't know why. It's qualification.
Maybe because you're the CTO and working on classification in our tool.
maybe too much, yeah. Yeah. Which brings us more to the people who are working with us. So what we would like to do is really closely collaborate with our customers, which also means we need to empower our customers in the sense of knowledge on the one hand, but also in the sense of the mandate.
Of course, yeah.
Because it's really important for a successful introduction of such a platform that people have really the mandate and not just the budget. Yeah, budget is also quite good if they have, but in the long run for the customer, it's more important that people have the mandate.
Of course, and that's a call to action for all of the managers out there. Trust your own folks. Yeah, because speaking from experience, usually when we come to a PLM project, the people that are working in such a project from the customer, they know a lot. They know exactly what they want, usually. They know what they need. They know how to implement it in their organization. They know how or who to talk to, right? Mm-hmm. The big thing that's usually lacking many times I experience is the mandate or the backing from management, right? So in other words, trust your own folks. You have the right people to do it. Let them work, right? Maybe give them the standardized platform to build something, right? That they don't have to build everything from scratch, right? But usually they know how the process should work. Mm-hmm. And in other words, trust your own folks.
Yeah, they are not completely idiots.
Yeah, usually not. Usually not.
Okay, I think that were just good closing remarks from Michael. So with this said, give us your thoughts in the comments. Like, subscribe, share the podcast if you like.
Yeah.
And with that said, I would say goodbye. See you next time.
See you guys. Bye-bye.